This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Cody Besant. Cody is CEO with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. We'll talk with Cody Besant in just a few moments. First off, we look at what USDA's main goal is today. We turn to Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack addressing cattlemen at the recent industry convention.
So whether it's expanding capacity and encouraging more competition for you all, or whether it's trying to provide some assistance from difficult drought conditions that you've experienced in the West, or whether it's working to engage new income opportunities with climate smart practices, the USDA is really focused on more new and better markets, on improving farm income, because we know how important that is to maintaining the opportunity for you to continue to farm and ranch across this great country.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Cody Besant. Cody is CEO with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. And Cody, we start the conversation with Congress trying to work to keep the doors open. Continuing resolution, what's happening there?
They are. So this seems to be somewhat of a more frequent conversation, unfortunately, than has been in recent years. But Congress is in the process of trying to muster up enough momentum and votes to pass another continuing resolution. A CR would essentially provide a baseline funding mechanism to, as you mentioned, keep the doors open. So not having a shutdown or avert any type of employee furloughs for government-based employees and so forth. And so all that being said, what that means, so come February the 18th, the current CR that the overall government itself has been operating underneath is set to expire. And in order to continue to keep things moving forward, they're going to have to pass another CR. Presumably, it would kick them out to March 11th, and that would buy them a little bit more time to finish developing a full overall budget for the remainder of the fiscal year. The reason it's important for this time right now compared to other times, specifically for agriculture anyway, is producers right now are continuing to go in and sign up for PLC or ARC, or at least make that programmatic decision if they want to participate or not. In addition to the recently announced pandemic cover crop program, and all that is done through the Farm Service Agency, through the FSA office. Well, if government does not fulfill the terms of the budget and doesn't pass a continuing resolution, then that essentially shuts the doors completely on those offices, furloughs those office employees and other employees for a small time until another budget or funding mechanism can be addressed. And so it curbs the momentum going forward into that and limits producers' ability to sign up for the program. It also has programmatic impacts on the Commodity Credit Corporation, the CCC loan, which we use as a marketing tool. I don't believe that will happen per se, but certainly it's just created a little bit of pause. The House did pass their version last week. The Senate is working to finalize their respective voting area in regard to that. There has been a little bit of a hiccup or a pause from expediting that process with some senators not granting a unanimous consent motion, but overall, at the end of the day, they should have enough votes to be able to pass the CR, not shut down the government in itself, and then allow for about 3 weeks to a month of time frame to finish developing the overall budget for the rest of the fiscal year. So kind of stay tuned on that. Certainly the end of this week will be important, but nothing to overly fret about. It just gets to be challenging, especially when you continue to jump from one CR to the next and create uncertainty and budgeting mechanisms where people can't plan as readily as they need to.
You know, speaking of planning, we've seen as the calendar flipped over to 2022, certain push now by the House Agriculture Committee and associated subcommittees with hearings on aspects of the farm bill and starting that process. What have you seen on that front, even though we're still a ways away from the expiration? What are you watching?
We are, and certainly this is starting to play out into the timeline of developing the next five-year farm bill. Right now, the committees themselves are starting to do what they deem as oversight hearings, which is just the beginning stages of the process. So most are well aware that Secretary Vilsack testified before the House and Senate Agricultural Committees a couple of weeks ago and just laid out some of the implementation of farm policy programs underneath the 2018 Farm Bill that we're currently operating underneath, as well as just some challenges that they've seen throughout the process. We've had Robert Bonney testify this last week as the Undersecretary of Farm Policy and Farm Programs and kind of reemphasize the same. So this is just one of the initial steps that Congress members, congressional members call for to try to get a broad overview of what they enacted several years ago, how it's been working from a managerial aspect, and how improvements can be made possibly moving forward. Next steps really kind of remain to be seen. But traditionally, what Congress would do next is hold several field hearings across the U.S. Or some in D.C., where they would have invited testimony from production segments, from producers specifically or ranchers specifically, to be able to come in and provide layman's terms of how those programs have had a direct impact to the users of those programs, so they can see from a boots-on-the-ground standpoint of how things are working, as well as have feedback on issues that may have arisen throughout the last 4 years or so. Presumably that will happen moving forward, whether it be this spring or sometime in the fall, remains to be seen. But that is kind of the next steps. And that kind of preps everything going into to 2023, where legislation itself will start to be written, provided that that we get down that far down that path. But that is kind of the timeline with the goal. The overall goal would be to implement a new five-year farm bill by the end of the 2023 calendar year. So a lot of, as you mentioned, a lot of length in time between now and then, and certainly a lot of discussions will be had, as well as we'll have other political maneuvers. We'll have an election in between that time frame, and so now that can change some of the pace and course as well. But overall, feel good at least that they're now discussing the oversight of current farm policy and ad hoc assistance, at least starting the process versus waiting till the end of this current farm bill and then trying to really ramp up efforts and trying to flesh out ideas and issues that we may have experienced over the last five-year bill.
In place as part of that farm bill is the safety net for growers, and the cotton industry was able to get cotton back in to that the farm program through seed cotton. And I'm going to tie that back in because since that time, we've seen a gradual increase, if you will, in cotton acres, which ties into a recent meeting you attended, National Cotton Council, right?
That's right. That's correct. We had the National Cotton Council meeting in Houston this last week and weekend with a great attendance. It's a dissemination of all cotton industry segments, from producers to warehousers to merchants at all, that get to come together and discuss issues, work from a committee-based standpoint, and then also hear viable presentations from congressional folks in D.C. or other industry that we continue to focus on in the near term. And then ultimately, one of the things that comes out of that is planning for the new year, so for 2022. And at the end of every annual meeting, we've had a planning intentions survey that has come out that Cotton Council sends out early on at the end of the previous calendar year to see what people are thinking as far as the new cropping year, whether they will continue to plant cotton, either more or less of it, or will they shift over to another commodity, and reasons behind that. And that was unveiled at the end of the meeting. And really provided some underlying, I think, support for some marketing decisions relatively, but it did show that because of the continued issues with supply chain in regarding to some of the agronomic aspects that we utilize, whether it be fertilizer or insect or herbicide-based chemistry, that that is causing some people to really kind of ratchet down and really put a pencil to where their input costs are going to be for 2022 and how they need to proceed forward with the respective crop that they're going to grow. It did show an increase in cotton acres, or an estimated increase in cotton acres going into this new year from about 11.2 million we had last year up to 12 million this year. And Texas, in correspondence with that, is estimating to go from about 6.2, 6.3 million acres we had last year to about 6.8 million acres this coming year. And all that relatively being said, a lot of what's driving that is the increase, the vast increase in fertilizer prices and availability. And certainly that's a big agronomic incentive in the corn segment. And so without the availability and the ability to readily get fertilizer supply, that has an impact on growing conditions and input practices for the corn segment. So you're seeing some of those acres being substituted, at least in the initial survey.
You mentioned that meeting, and it's a good transition to another meeting that comes up in April, and that is the Plains Cotton Growers annual meeting. Are we starting to finalize some of the details?
We're getting there. So we do have our keynote speaker selected. It'll be David Wasserman. He's with the Cook Political Report, and he's going to give an outlook of the current election process, how the dynamics and the demography of Congress potentially could shape out given the election cycle that we're in. We will actually have finished up our primaries in Texas, so we should have a really good outlook of how any of those races may be extended through a runoff or what the general may look like overall. But certainly very excited to have him. We'll have an update from our current president on the outlook and works, inner workings that PCG has been working on throughout this year, as well as a couple of other speakers that are still being ironed out and lined out, but certainly invite all that would like to come and attend to please join us. It'll be April 1st from 8:30 till noon there at the Lubbock Civic Center in conjunction with the Texas Cotton Gin Show as well.
Okay. If we want to keep up with the Plains Cotton Growers, obviously you're on the internet. How do we find you?
Plainscotton.org.
Pretty simple. Plainscotton.org is the website for Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. CEO Cody Bessent joining us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
When Manitou set out to build the all-new MLT 737 telehandler, they built it with your needs in mind. Designed for ultimate efficiency with quick hydraulic movements, a wide range of attachments, and easier maintenance, you'll have time on your hands. And since productivity and comfort are closely linked, you won't find a better place than the cab of an MLT 737 telehandler to get the job done. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Cody Bessent with Plains Cotton Growers.
For 40 years, United Ag has been committed to ensuring the vitality of the ag industry. United Ag helps protect your future and the future of your workforce. Join United Ag and take advantage of up-to-date information on pending legislation and immigration reform, advocacy, health benefits, and leadership opportunities. United Ag is here to ensure your farm makes it to the next generation. Join us at www.unitedag.org. That's unitedag.org.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. You can keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org, plainscotton.org.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dry land cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dry land cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com and texascrp.com to view many properties we have currently listed in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Give us a call at 800-933-9698 to discuss these properties in detail. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
It's the Agribusiness Report, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack.
You know, at USDA, we are committed to spending the administration's time and effort to increase producer income and ensuring that farmers and ranchers can continue to compete around the world in this 21st century. We have got two main goals. First, we want to create more new and better markets for producers. And secondly, we want to develop local and regional food systems to make our system more resilient. To do so, we know we've got to expand meat and poultry processing capacity and make sure that the markets we have here in America are as competitive as they are meant to be. Now, we're committed to making sure that the supply chain catches up to demand and that we keep American agriculture on the move. We also know that in addition to the lingering challenges from the pandemic, producers have been grappling with drought, and USDA is fully focused on delivering much-needed relief to farmers and livestock producers. And, of course, we're focused on how we can bring additional sources of revenues in ways that farmers can potentially benefit beyond traditional methods.